This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Pushback on Syria. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, October 8th. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is hearing the criticism from his own party about his decision to end U.S. troop involvement in Syria.
The Supreme Court today starts debate on whether companies can fire someone for being gay or transgender.
Walgreens and Kroger have become the latest national retailers to stop selling e-cigarettes amid growing health concerns.
And at long last, outlet stores make the move to selling their stuff online.
The outlet mall is following traditional retailers online, finally. And that holds, you know, some risks that customers might not make the journey to an outlet mall anymore.
Suzanne Kapner at the Wall Street Journal on outlet malls, finally launching an online presence. Her report in about 20 minutes. President Trump is catching heat for his decision to end U.S. troop involvement in Syria, especially from his own party. He made the call after Turkey announced an incursion into northern Syria. Critics feel that abandoning a key ally, the Kurds, and walking away from the fight against ISIS could cause irreparable damage. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina was on Fox.
This is going to lead to the reemergence of ISIS, and the biggest winner of all this will be the Iranians, and that's too bad.
Mr. Trump wants other countries to take care of the thousands of ISIS fighters that the Kurds have been holding prisoner.
We can't take care of 60, 70,000 people, and we're not going to move the fighters to Guantanamo Bay and take care of them for many, many years into the future.
The Turks consider the Kurdish military units to be terrorists. U.S. officials consider the Kurdish fighters vital allies against ISIS. Last year, you might recall, Mr. Trump ordered a full withdrawal of U.S. forces, triggering the resignation of Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. After backlash, the president did a 180 and kept forces in Syria. Further reaction and analysis now from Indiana Congressman Jim Banks, a Republican on the Armed Services Committee. Congressman, how do you feel about the president's decision?
Well, Gordon, I have a lot of concerns. A lot of my colleagues have expressed concerns as well. I mean, our efforts in Syria, our efforts supporting the Kurds in Syria have been a key stopgap to fighting back against the ISIS fighters. There are 12,000 ISIS militants in that region, and if we pull out our support of the Kurds, then there's a good chance that ISIS resurges once again in that part of the world. And that's what gives me and a lot of other so-called defense hawks a lot of pause about the president's recent actions in pulling our troops out of that part of the world.
When Turkey announced its incursion, did you think we should have taken a different tact, or did we say try to keep Mr. Erdogan out of Turkey? What? Any idea what happened there?
Well, at this point, the Pentagon and the president both have made very clear that we don't support Turkey's plans to invade northeast Syria. So, in fact, the president even clarified this that if Turkey invades northeast Syria, then there will be hell to pay by the United States of America. So what that means, you know, the president said he would shut off the Turkish economy, the military actions perhaps against Turkey. So the president did make a very strong statement about what our actions would be if Erdogan and Turkey moved in that direction. But pulling our troops out of Syria and supporting the Kurds is probably not a good way forward, or a good a signal to send as well.
We're speaking with Congressman Jim Banks, Republican from Indiana. He's on the House Armed Services Committee. Worst case scenario here, as you see it, would be what?
Well, if you recall, I mean, during the Obama years, most Republicans gave President Obama a hard time for calling ISIS the JV, the Junior Varsity of Terrorism. Of course, ISIS at that point was little known, and later on through the years, we've seen what they're capable of. There's certainly no a junior varsity level a terrorist entity. So if we pull our troops out, it's still unclear what the president fully intends to do in that regard. It will leave a vacuum with which we know that ISIS will fill. And my greatest concern, Gordon, is that ISIS will take over the region, rebuild itself, rehab itself, and come out on top even more powerful and dangerous than what they were before.
I'll try to play devil's advocate here, and I guess the argument is, do we really need to be involved in what's happening in that part of the world?
Well, I certainly understand the sentiment, and I do appreciate this president's platform of pulling out of endless wars and ending our activities around the world that aren't in the best interest of the United States of America. But when it comes to a bigger, stronger, more dangerous ISIS, that's what concerns me. And that's why our activities in support of the Kurds in recent years in fighting against ISIS have been important and in the best interest of the United States of America.
Change hats for just a moment, if you would. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, are you comfortable with the context of President Trump's phone call with his Ukrainian counterpart here, since that's made a lot of news lately?
It certainly has. I for one, believe that there's so much more that the American people deserve to know about Vice President Biden and his son Hunter's activities. But also, my understanding of the phone call, and I've read the transcript, I've read the whistleblower account, there are a lot of questions about the 2016 election and the foreign influence of those elections that the president is asking for help to uncover. And some of those questions, I believe, we could use our allies like Ukraine's help in getting to the bottom of.
Thanks, Jim. Congressman Jim Banks from Indiana. House committees have subpoenaed the Pentagon and White House Budget Office for documents related to the Trump administration's efforts to get Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden. They're seeking documents related to hold President Trump ordered in July on nearly $400 million in aid to Ukraine. The Pentagon has long favored moving forward with military aid. Mr. Trump has denied a connection between his efforts to press Ukraine and his hold on aid to the country, rejecting the idea that he was pushing for investigations for political reasons.
We won on the Mueller scam. That was a whole big deal that lasted for 2.5 years. We had a few days of peace, and then all of a sudden they came up with this one. But I guess it's just part of my life.
Meanwhile, Fox News is reporting that the first whistleblower in the case wrote a personal memo about the secondhand information, characterizing the call between President Trump and Ukraine, quote, crazy, frightening, and lacking in substance related to national security. It's 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This Morning with Gordon Deal podcast is brought to you by Privacy.com. For me, shopping online with Privacy.com is safer. How? By using Privacy.com's virtual credit or debit cards. They protect my identity and bank info when shopping online. Remember the recent theft of financial data of millions of online shoppers from a very large online retailer? Privacy.com's virtual accounts are held to the same security standards as your bank. It's PCI DSS compliant, which makes info online secure with military-grade encryption. Privacy.com can also help you take control of your finances by setting spending limits for when you tend to order too much takeout or by monitoring recurring payments or subscriptions. Head to privacy.com/Gordon to sign up and start shopping. As a special treat for our listeners, new customers will automatically get $5 to spend on your first purchase. Yep, that's free money to use on any online purchase. Go to privacy.com/Gordon and sign up now. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Tuesday. A federal judge has ruled that President Trump's accounting firm must turn over 8 years of his personal and business tax returns, but an appeals court quickly put that order on hold. More on yesterday's developments by This Morning's Mike Gavin.
The president tried to block a subpoena for his tax returns that state prosecutors sent to his accounting firm. His attorneys argue that it's unconstitutional to subject the sitting president to what they described as the criminal process. The judge said the idea that the president, his business entities, relatives, and private activities are immune from any criminal process is too broad. The appeals court said the hold on enforcing the subpoena is until arguments are heard, which could be the week of October 21st. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Prosecutors sent the subpoena to the president's accounting firm in August as part of its probe into hush money payments by a former Trump lawyer to adult film actress Stormy Daniels and how these payments were recorded. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshchenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump is casting his decision to abandon Kurdish fighters in Syria as fulfilling a campaign promise to withdraw from endless wars in the Middle East, even as Republican critics and others say he is sacrificing a U.S. ally and undermining U.S. credibility. Trump declared U.S. troops would step aside for an expected Turkish attack on the Kurds who have fought alongside Americans for years.
It's a great favor. We defeated the caliphate 100%. Now it's time for Germany and France and all of the nations where they came from to take them back.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina told Fox, Trump's move is short-sighted.
I like President Trump. I've tried to help him. This, to me, is just unnerving to its core. To say to the American people ISIS has been destroyed in Syria is not true.
Trump threatened to destroy the Turks' economy if they go too far. As House Democrats fire off more subpoenas, the White House is finalizing a high-stakes strategy to counter the impeachment threat to President Trump. Stall, attack, and repeat. Trump aides are honing their approach after 2 weeks of what allies have described as a listless and unfocused response to the impeachment probe. One expected step is a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejecting the inquiry because Democrats haven't held a vote on the matter. The FBI says the man who claims to have killed more than 90 women across the country is the most prolific serial killer in U.S. history. Authorities say Samuel Little confessed to 93 murders. They believe all of his confessions are credible, and they've been able to verify 50 confessions so far. The 79-year-old Little is serving multiple life sentences in California. He says he strangled his 93 victims between 1970 and 2005. Most of his victims were originally deemed overdoses.
The Yankees have swept the Twins, and they're the first team moving on to the championship series in 2019.
The final call on FS1 as the Yankees beat the Twins 5-1 and move on to the ALCS. The Rays top the Astros 10-3 to cut their series deficit to 2-1. In the National League, the Nationals top the Dodgers 6-1 to force a deciding Game 5, and the Cardinals survived with a 5-4 win over the Braves.
All right, now the Yankees cheer for the Rays and Astros to play the next two games, right, of 16 innings each.
Yeah, wear they out, get to rest.
Wear out those arms while the Yankees rest. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Outlet stores were long a source of growth for retailers, which have been hard hit by the shift to online shopping and competition from startups. Shoppers flocked to these centers, even though they were far away, for bargains they couldn't traditionally get at malls. But now outlets are showing the same signs of stress as traditional stores, so they're trying something new, moving their products online. It's a story by Suzanne Kapner at the Wall Street Journal. Suzanne, what's going on?
The outlet mall is following traditional retailers online, finally. And that holds, you know, some risks that customers might not make the journey to an outlet mall anymore.
Yeah. Is this a desperation move?
Well, they say no. They say they just, you know, they're going where the market is going. They're going where people want to shop, and people do want to shop online. And, you know, because these outlet malls are typically situated sometimes an hour or more from the major population centers, people can't, you know, it's a trip you make once in a while. So they're hoping this will supplement any trips to the mall. You know, in between those trips, customers can go online and get what they need.
Yeah. It was funny you used the phrase "finally" to perhaps summarize some folks' feelings. It does seem odd in this day and age that they've finally established a website for these outlet stores.
Brands, they don't necessarily want to advertise that they're selling some of their goods at deep discounts. And, you know, they don't necessarily want consumers to be able to search the web and find, you know, all these, you know, sometimes very premium high-end clothes and accessories at big, big discounts. So that's one reason they've kind of held off. That's also why these outlet malls were built so far away from, you know, major cities and suburbs, because, you know, retailers have their regular stores in the most populous areas, and they want shoppers to go there first, right? They want them to, you know, they want to sort of keep, it's like the dirty little secret of retail, keep the discounted stuff, you know, far away and hidden, so it's not so obvious that, you know, you can get these bargains.
Yeah. We're speaking with Suzanne Kapner, Wall Street Journal reporter. Her piece is called Outlet Malls Bucked the Shift to Online Until Now. Any brands that are saying absolutely not, we're not joining the shoppremiumoutlets.com?
Well, you know, if you look at Woodbury Commons, for instance, which is one of the biggest outlet malls in the country, they have something like 250 brands, everything from Gucci to Prada, you know, a lot of high-end designers. So far, none of those brands are on this website, but, you know, that it remains to be seen. It's, you know, it just launched a week ago, and so we'll see, you know, where they go from here.
Thanks, Suzanne. Suzanne Kapner, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She says outlet centers are also facing stiffer competition from off-price chains such as TJ Maxx and Nordstrom Rack, which are located closer to where most people live, as well as from regular stores that have just cut prices to remain competitive. Retailers including Ralph Lauren and Kate Spade have recently called out softness in their outlet stores. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday, October 8th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The president gets pushback from his own party for his decision to move troops in Syria. Supreme Court prepares to hear some of the most polarizing political issues. U.S. Ambassador to the European Union gives deposition today to House committees conducting an impeachment probe. Yom Kippur, holiest day on the Jewish calendar, begins this evening. 49ers pounded the Browns in Monday Night Football. And why songs from a decade ago are back on today's charts. That story in about 20 minutes. The Supreme Court is wasting no time diving into the thick of 2020 politics. Starting today, the court will begin debate on whether employers can fire someone for being gay or transgender. A preview from Sam Baker, reporter at Axios. Sam, what's ahead?
They're diving right in. They're wasting no time. They're hearing three cases where broadly the question is, can your employer fire you because you are gay or transgender? It's two gay men who were fired for being gay, one trans woman who was fired for being trans as she started transitioning. That's obviously pretty contentious, right? Pretty explosive social issue. And then from there, we'll have cases on immigration, abortion, maybe Obamacare again. The hits just keep coming, and all of this will come to a head in the summer, right as we're getting into the thick of the 2020 campaign.
Wow. All right. So to clarify, there's not something specifically on the books that says you can't fire someone based on sexual orientation?
So what federal law says is you cannot fire someone because of sex. And the question before the court is, does that include sexual orientation? And it's a pretty interesting question. You know, on its face, you can sort of see, like, well, no, that would protect mostly women, right? And sexual orientation would be its own other thing that Congress could write into the statute if it wanted. But then you take a look at this, you know, these are men who were fired for being attracted to men. If you're a woman who's attracted to a man, you wouldn't get fired. Mm. So that's the argument, that it is sex-based discrimination.
Does the religion of the owners of these businesses play a role here?
It does in the case over the trans employee. You know, if you sort of think about that, it is in some ways, or there's an argument that that is almost a clearer form of sex-based discrimination, right? Like this employer thought that this employee was a man. Employee was fine. Employee started dressing and presenting and identifying as a woman, got fired. So that does seem like sort of sex-based discrimination on its face. But that employer cited his Christian faith and said, you know, this goes against, I believe he said, the commands of God, and appeals to religious liberty, no matter the religion, do tend to find a sympathetic ear before this Supreme Court.
All right, I was going to say, so on a somewhat related note, how about the role now of the newest Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and his opinions?
Yeah, he really matters in two big ways. One, he is significantly more conservative than Anthony Kennedy, who he replaced, specifically, probably, we'll see, on issues of LGBT rights. Like, that was an area where Kennedy led the court's, you know, liberal charge in legalizing gay marriage and many other things. A lot of people expect to see Kavanaugh pull the court in the other direction.
Mm.
And then, two, it's just sort of the subtext. You know, a lot of these rulings are going to come down. A lot of them are going to go in a conservative direction on these really big issues. And again, right in the heat of the campaign season, and Democrats are just still so angry over the fact that Kavanaugh is on the court, the way that that confirmation process was handled, and it still fires up Republicans so much. Just his presence, even if he's not the deciding vote in a 5-4 decision, just animates all of this even more.
We're speaking with Sam Baker, reporter at Axios. He's got a piece entitled Supreme Court Set to Weigh In on 2020's Most Polarizing Issues. The opposition here to this particular challenge regarding sexual orientation, is that about allowing businesses to make their own calls about this?
So at least as it will probably play out before the court, it is a question of does Congress, it's more a question of deferring to Congress or believing that Congress has already spoken rather than the employers making the call. You know, I think the argument that you will hear from that side is, look, Congress can write this into the law if they want, but they haven't done.
Like Sam Baker, reporter at Axios. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you could be with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know in 2019, it's nearly impossible to have a baby without a gender reveal celebration, which can make for some funny moments when the often elaborate setups go tragically wrong. That's why millions across the country have been laughing at a viral video of one couple's recent reveal party. In the clip, the dad and mom-to-be are seen in the backyard swinging sticks at a large black balloon, presumably filled with pink or blue confetti to indicate whether they'll be having a boy or a girl. After several unsuccessful attempts, the balloon comes loose and starts to fly away. The unborn baby's father then hilariously fails to scale a fence to chase after the balloon, falling haplessly to the ground.
Oh.
It was just the latest in a string of elaborate gender reveal parties that have been criticized or gone wrong. In September, a Michigan couple was chastised for using a helicopter to learn the gender of their soon-to-be child. And in July, Australian authorities released footage of a gender reveal that included a driver doing a burnout with blue smoke billowing from a car that later burst into flames.
Of course. Yeah, this is, it's too much. I'm not into the whole gender reveal.
You know,
thing.
You gotta one up. You gotta keep up with the neighbors, right? You gotta keep up with the Joneses. I don't mind the ones where, you know, it's like a cake or something. You know, like
right,
a nice that's nice and simple. Your friends are all gathered around and they maybe do the cake thing. That's you know, when you get into this kind of stuff, again, we can have mishaps happen much more easily.
Just take some pictures. Right now we have to, like, it has to be a video that people have to talk about. That's what we're striving for.
Yeah.
Like, if we didn't have social media, there'd be no gender reveal things like this.
Right. And forever, this dad is going to be known as the guy who tried to scale the fence and, like, fell down and, you know, and it was... laying haplessly on the ground, writhing in agony.
For decades, they'll be watching this video and laughing among family members.
Perhaps a warning to future people who want to do this kind of thing.
Don't be this guy.
Yeah. And how early is too early? For some, the holiday season can come fast enough, while others would rather try to get in as much fall as they can before singing about sleigh bells and mistletoe. According to a new poll, those people are in the minority, as 57% of people say they start their holiday shopping before the first day of November, and a whopping 8 in 10 begin preparing for the holidays well before the autumn leaves begin to change. Also, 3 in 10 of those surveyed have no problem seeing holiday decorations in stores before Halloween or Thanksgiving. So, when do we think that the holiday season officially kicks off? Well, half of us say that seeing the decorations in shops marks the official start. Other key signifiers include hearing holiday music in shops, receiving emails from retailers about gifts, and getting your first cards in the mail.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go with, let's break out the Halloween decorations, October 17th.
Oh, okay.
Gives you 2 weeks.
Right.
Thanksgiving, you can start with the stuff 3 weeks out.
Right, well, and then almost right after Halloween.
Christmas, I'll give you the back end of Thanksgiving. Can we just return to those times?
Yeah, I'm that way, especially with the music. With the Christmas music, I don't want to hear one note of Christmas music until Thanksgiving Day. That's the first time I want to hear anything.
Yes.
That unfortunately is not the case if you walk into any store. You know, from now on, you're going to hear the stuff.
It's the holiday creep, as we call it. Yes.
Right. Yes. I'm a little grinchy that way, but I also was scarred from years of working in retail around the holidays, so right. I can't deal with it any earlier than I have to.
So really, lessons from both your stories today.
Right.
Stop with the gender reveals, and let's please put the brakes on the holiday creep.
We aim to teach if we can. Here.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
I never get sick. Never taken a sick day. I'm not going to let a little thing like a 100-degree fever stop my business. You know what really makes me sick? Downtime. You know the cure to downtime? Grainger. With same-day pickup, next-day delivery options, and time-saving inventory solutions, Grainger keeps our facility running and fit as a fiddle. Some people go to the doctor. I go to America's trusted source for industrial supplies. Because Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Glad you could spend some time with us. Flu seasons are notoriously unpredictable, right? But there are already clues that the upcoming season may be especially difficult. NBC News says flu season in the Southern Hemisphere can be an indication of what's to come in the Northern Hemisphere. And the recent flu season in Australia, where winter has just ended, arrived early and with a vengeance. A particularly virulent flu strain dominated. It's called H3N2. The CDC estimates that last year there were somewhere between 37 and 43 million flu cases in the U.S. and between 36 and 64,000 flu-related deaths. Last year's flu season ran from October 1 to May 4. NBC says a couple of things to keep in mind here. One, it's never too early to get the flu vaccine. Doctors say people should get the flu vaccine now and certainly before Thanksgiving. And two, there's plenty of evidence that the vaccine can ease the severity of the flu if you do get sick. Doctors say people who get the vaccine generally don't feel as sick if they wind up with the flu, and they're less likely to develop complications, including pneumonia and possibly death. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the Supreme Court is set to hear arguments in two of the term's most closely watched cases over whether federal civil rights law protects LGBT people from job discrimination. The cases today are the court's first on LGBT rights since Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement and replacement by Brett Kavanaugh. A decision is expected by next summer. A federal judge in New York has ruled that President Trump's accounting firm must turn over 8 years of his personal and business tax returns, an order that was immediately put on hold by an appeals court. The decision came in a lawsuit filed by Trump against Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. and Trump's longtime accounting firm. Gordon Sondland is set to be deposed today by House lawyers as part of the congressional impeachment inquiry looking into President Trump's effort to press Ukraine for investigations of Joe Biden. The U.S. ambassador to the European Union is expected to be questioned on matters, including the role that he and other officials played in crafting a statement in August in which Ukraine would commit to opening a corruption investigation in exchange for a White House meeting between Trump and the Ukraine president. Hong Kong's leader, Carrie Lam, is warning that the Chinese military could step in if an uprising for democratic reforms that has rocked the city for months continues, but reiterated the government still hopes to resolve the crisis itself.
If the situation becomes so bad, then no options could be ruled out.
Lam says seeking Chinese intervention is provided for under Hong Kong's constitution, but she cannot reveal under what circumstances she will do so. Move over, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Fort Myers, Florida, now the number one place to retire. U.S. News & World Report ranked the country's 125 largest metro areas based on how well they meet our expectations for retirement, with measures including housing affordability, desirability, health care, and overall happiness. Sarasota is number two, followed by Lancaster. Two metro areas not previously ranked broke into the top five, Asheville, North Carolina at number four, and Port St. Lucie, Florida at number five.
I like Florida, but I don't want 12 months of Florida.
Yeah. It's
too much heat.
Too many palmetto bugs.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. TikTok, the social video app that has boomed with younger generations since its launch just over a year ago, has become a force in the music industry, despite limiting songs to 15 seconds. The Wall Street Journal says the app is so popular it's pulled along old songs, obscure songs, and others lost to time. A video of a girl crying and dancing to Mariah Carey's 2009 song Obsessed rode a wave of popularity this summer on a range of social media platforms after it was posted to TikTok.
Why is
In one version, Howie Mandel's daughter teaches him the dance. Students in another perform it in class to avoid detention. Last week, Obsessed appeared on Billboard's R&B streaming chart at number 23. Fergalicious had a resurgence as well, 13 years after its release. TikTok also has become a source of new hits, the most famous being Old Town Road by Lil Nas X, which got its start on the TikTok and became the longest reigning number one hit. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.